The title of today's talk is Love is Connection. Love is the force of life. Love is spirit energy. Love is the harmonic to all creation. The phrase God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is love, is not just an aphorism. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being by way of the Word, and the Word was vibration, and the vibration was love. Plain and simple. But not so simple to the resistor. God power is creation power, and God power created with love. So what is the manifestation of creation? It has to be love. Stillness is a state of openness, a condition of receptiveness. Still waters, like going to a lake in the evening and sitting by a lake where the waters are still, there's a sense of inner quietude. It's like you don't want to disturb that quiet. It is a condition of receptivity. A still night air, just sitting out in the open with the air is very still. There's something so, let's say, fulfilling. It feels like things are right with the world. Oh. A still baby is like there's something magical in just looking at a still baby. A still sleeper. How many pictures have we seen? How many times have we seen the face of a friend or a person or an actor that is just sleeping, and the sensitivity towards relaxation and joy emanate from that? Empty, empty, empty of intention. If we are empty of ego intention, we're available. What are we available to? The love frequency of creation and creator. And that may manifest in receptivity to our soul. Tension, on the other hand, because of its tightness, is a blocking energy. I mean, it's not be still. It's being still is seems so silly to say, be still and know that I am God, to know God, to know Godness. To know Godness is to know love, because love is God, and God is love, and the way back to God is love. But one might say that tension is the killer of receptivity. Receptivity to creation. Killer of receptivity to one's own soul. A killer of the presence of Creator. It's all science. It's science. Frequency, frequency, frequency. Receptivity depends on frequency. And frequency in the human body has to be trained to let go of everything that creates tension. Thought patterns that create tension and don't allow the frequency of receptivity of even one soul. Yes. Why Zen? Zen is a particular aspect or form of getting clear, even more clear than, let's say, Christianity in its sense of being kind and that sort of thing. Being kind is all wonderful, but that's an intention. Emptiness is emptiness. It's not an intention. It's a state of being, empty of blocking frequencies to Creator and creation. So, what is the purpose of the, let's say, slowing down? You see that the monks do, and it's monks also in Christian monasteries and all kinds of monastery places. The idea is stillness has to come before understanding of why tension is blocking. Tension is a contraction. In a contracted state, you're not available to open love. Love is an open frequency. Fear and frustration and speed all create contraction, because they create all of the chemicals of a tense, self-protective body, period. So the whole spring flowers bring drippy noses. Okay. And in Zen, it's like, give it up. That's its motto. Give it up. Give it up. And even the path of the masters, it comes to that, but it kind of says it in a different way, which isn't like slam, tham, thank you, ma'am. It kind of waltzes around with love and obedience to the master, blah, blah, blah. But Zen just puts it out there and says, stop it. Stop everything that is tense. Stop it. So it's like, clear the decks here, folks. If you want to feel at one with the Creator's creation, you can't be tense because it's subtle. Love is a subtle, profound frequency. It's a creation frequency. It's an open frequency. And anything that creates tension and closeness is saying, I don't trust God. I don't trust Creator. I don't trust creation. And that's because we come in with the sympathetic nervous system wanting to defend the polarity of existence in duality. It's there from the beginning. So pretending that it's okay to go on and on and on educating children in self-protection is what? It's mean, because it has to be unlearned eventually. And, of course, we don't know better because we were raised the same way. Always on guard. You've got to be alert. You've got to be on guard. And that's saying you can't trust your soul. You can't trust God power to steer you. You can't trust that you have a soul that would steer you. You intellectually, emotionally must be your own protector, is what it amounts to. That's what education, Western education, is all about. In the Tao, the Tao is very clear. No, not. Drift and allow. Allow, allow, allow. Relax, relax, relax. If you have a child that realizes it may be in danger and it is clutching onto mommy or daddy or an older brother and sister, whatever, that child is dependent on the protector. Why aren't we aware that the protector is inside and outside of us? But we're off frequency because we're fearful, full of fear. And so we don't trust the inside God power. We don't trust the outside all-creating creator power. And so it goes on. It's gone on for centuries and centuries and centuries in the Dark Age. And it is still going on. Now, because of the path of the masters, you're given a strong connecting frequency boost to your soul, to master power and God power. And it's trying to kick you in the behind and say, come on, kids, it's time to get rid of the angst of life. God is here. God power is in control. You have God power in you and around you. You will never get it until you quit trying to be egotistically the doer, the fearful doer, the almighty planner. You have to trust. You have to trust. You have to trust. So, once we're on the path of the masters, we should be able to finally let go, let go, let go, let go, let go. Attachment is tension. You want to hold on to something. You don't want to get rid of it. You don't want to let it go. You don't want to let a relationship go. You don't want to let an idea of a job go. You don't want, you won't let go. You won't detach. So it's a very difficult transition. You came into this body, got attached to the master power in a boost, so that you can let go of your ego. Without that, it's more difficult. But historically, look back, the letting go process has been going on in different teachers from the beginning of time. Let go and trust God. Let go and trust soul. So, what does it take? We want to feel that we could, let's say, maybe feel attracted to the trees and the flowers and the wild animals and the earth and the water and all of those things. Everything that is in creation. Of course, we stop real close to getting to inanimate things, you know. We can't go that far. Who's the creator? Where does God's creation stop? Where does it stop? So many a person has had the experience that, as I have said before, if you're running out of gas or food, the loaves and fishes story. On fumes, you make it to the gas station 20 miles after you run out of gas. And you're praying like mad, oh, just let me get to a gas station, let me get to a gas station, no gas station in sight. And you get to a gas station. Now that's an inanimate object, we say, of the car. However, miraculous things happen with inanimate objects if we give them credit for being receptive. We have to give them credit for being receptive to God power, and which means we have to be receptive that they're receptive. They're already receptive. We're not receptive. Oh, I gave it receptivity. No, you didn't. It gave you receptivity, ninny noony nanny. You finally shut up for 10 seconds and you discovered receptivity where you didn't think there was receptivity. Why do we say grace? Because the food is conscious. Even though it's been mangled and beat up and chopped up, and it is still conscious. And it can kill or it can cure. Now we hear these things, we experience these things, and we still can't do our math. Two and two do make four. Two and two make consciousness. Yes, you can all go through life, and there are a gazillion opportunities to attune. Somehow overlooked or bypassed. Why? Why do we bypass them? Because we're busy listening to the conditioned ego and the conditioned fight and flight, sympathetic nervous system, adrenaline, and endorphins, da, 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 da. All of the tension-producing chemicals. Now, because they are automatic. It's automatic that we are tense. And tension is a blocker to receptivity of spirit, spirit energy, God energy, to love. It's all love. So when people, quote, have near-death experiences and they go to Loveland, and say, I don't want to come back to this not love land. They are very disappointed in having to come back to finish out some karma. But how many cases of transcendence do we have to hear before we believe and create conditions within ourselves that allow finally open receptivity? It's work. It's the workless work. Overcoming conditioning is like overcoming heroin. It's an addiction. Plain and simple, we are addicted to the sympathetic nervous system energy. The parasympathetic nervous system, poor dear, is trying its best, but every time we get tense because we won't shut up our mind, we get another squirt of adrenaline that makes sure that we will not trust spirit. We will not hear spirit. We will not believe that we are spirit. We are animals that need protection. So when the little kid is sitting quietly in church that mother has dragged the kid to, and they hear a talk about the soul, and then they leave the church and he sees a ball bouncing across the street. And it's attractive, and he wants to run after it. And mother grabs him and swats him on the behind and says, you're going to get killed. What a wonderful lesson. What a wonderful lesson. Everything is dangerous. Her job is to point out danger. Somehow or other, Westerners have missed the whole point of raising a child with someone pointing out, relax, let go. Things aren't dangerous. Why do you think things are all dangerous? Which, that frequency of danger attracts danger as a test. We don't realize it, but if we assign danger to life, we get it. Every time we talk about little miracles, people finally wise up and start looking for little miracles, and they're surprised at how many they've missed. All through life, little miracles, tiny ones. Then I fell on the floor and it didn't cut your toes off, you know. There you were, barefoot. And it could have, but it didn't. We spend so much time in this, let's say, whirly cage, like a little rat going around in his little merry-go-round, running and running and running, going nowhere but still running, running and running, going nowhere, still running, until exhausted. And we call that exercise. Oh, why don't we get on to a treadmill and run nowhere? Okay. So, we are inundated with misinformation. And tossing it out and getting unattached to it, detached, become a detached observer. Ever see someone who is chronically kicking their leg? Why? Do they know? Do they even know that they're kicking their leg? Ever had a tooth pulled and your tongue keeps going to the place where it was pulled over and over until you've got lockjaw or you've displaced your TMJ? Yeah. And you don't even know it until it aches, you ache, your tongue aches, and you just keep doing it anyway. And you say, I got to stop that, and then you're doing it. Some other energy than your cognitive energy is exercising its influence. Now think about that. It is going on at the same time. All you have to do is go to a doctor's office and you see this. Well, somebody's waiting to go see the doctor. And they're just carrying on a conversation with somebody else, and you know. And it just keeps going on. It's like it's got a life force of its own. It's running on some nervous cord of energy that needs to be down-trained and out-trained. And so here we are. We're on many levels addicted. Subconscious mind is clever. More clever than you give it credit. And if you're not cognitively, consciously, as a detached observer, watching it, you wouldn't give it credit for being an interferent to attuning to the spirit. So, the body, nervous system, regulates all of the systems. And they go on automatically. But what happens is certain thought forms or emotional memories get connected to different aspects of body management, i.e., like the psychiatrist who was only allergic to yellow roses because he lied to his family and he forced his horse to throw him on the way to a wake to Chris' dead grandma laying on the kitchen table. He didn't want to do it. He was scared to death. He was an abomination. Now, that, not just that he made the horse throw him so he wouldn't have to do it, but he lied to the family. You know, he was a bad boy because he lied, and he was a Quaker, and you don't lie to your parents. No, he's gone through medical school. He's a mature person. He's in the middle of his practice. And he's still reacting to yellow roses, not knowing that it's a trigger to the lie he told his family when he was 10 years old. It took him that long to discover that he had that stored lie activating in him. And it had to be on the alert 24/7 if it was on the alert every time there was a yellow rose. So what else is on alert in you? What else is alert in you that's going on in the under network of your nervous system? And that's why detached observance and prayer that you will be made aware of the interfering information in your nervous system that's keeping you reacting in inappropriate ways to relaxation and attunement to the spirit. If you are not clear that you need help from your divine and God's divine and master power to catch the addictive, locked in, conditioned reactionalism in your body, you will go on reacting. So, the benefit of being on the path is that there is a heightened frequency towards the soul. It has been amplified. The master power, when it initiates, amplifies soul energy so as to actually help us become aware of the issues and the idea that we need to be attuned to the spirit no matter what, to give up addiction and connection to things that don't serve us on the way back to the soul attention. So if it's amplified, that is amplified for us to become clear in a detached, observant sort of way that give it up. We need to give it up. And if we keep praying that we can give it up, and be aware of when it's trying to sneak in again, that we slowly, slowly discard one addiction after another. And we got plenty of them. So that's the workless work. And you're not bad. Nobody's bad because they're addicted to their subconscious mind. It's part of the program. We are here to learn to undo anything that stands between us and Creator's love. Receptivity to the soul. Your soul is a drop in the ocean of God. You're in God. God is inside and outside. And we think God is somewhere way out there in space. Sometimes looking down. especially we don't want that to be true when we're doing something we know we shouldn't be doing, but he's way out in space and we can pretend he's not there. Except that he's making you tense because you're lying to yourself. And there's something about God not liking us lying to ourselves. Oh, jeez. How can that be? Okay, so the work is work, but it's also the workless work. And we have to get onto it, or we get to come back and try it again. And, you know, theoretically, it would be funner to get done with it. Who wants to go through growing up again? Being in puberty again? No, yeah, no, 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 no. Hymns of the Earth. I wanted to be a hermit and only hear the hymns of the earth and the laughter of the sky and the sweet gossip of the creatures on my limbs, the forests. I wanted to be a hermit and not see another face, look upon mine and tell me I was not all the beauty in this world. For so many faces do that, cages. The wings we have are so fragile, they can break from just one word or a glance void of love. I wanted to live in the cloister of light silence because is it not true the heart is a fragile, so fragile, and shy. Do we really want to protect another's heart? Or do we want to tell them what's wrong with them? You see, by comparative, eventually, if one is around a relaxed and open, loving heart, one sees their own harshness. Not immediately, but eventually. It gets through. By comparatives, think of times and places where there's been this open, loving exchange of energy. And then think of blah, blah, or harshness, or, you know, somebody screaming at another person. And then we scream mentally at them. When we don't like something, we scream it. It's a frequency. Everything is frequency. Every thought, every biological activity has frequency to it. So it's like playing an off key on a piano that isn't tuned properly, you know. But we don't take responsibility that we're off key, that we're producing frequencies that are hurtful. We're producing the energy of tension around. And we could say everybody does it. And you'd be right. Everybody does it. Well, there are a fine few that don't. But you see, if you don't look at your own stuff, you're not willing to have compassion to people who have been raised in more difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances abound. And we might say, who made them? Came across somebody that we didn't know and they were having a hard day. And instead of being relaxed, we get judgmental, you know, standing in line when somebody can't remember where their stuff, they put their credit card, and we're standing and standing in line. The lady behind you says, you know, I was young when I got in this line. She made a joke out of it, and that was wonderful. But the tension around was palpable. And tension is palpable. I mean, why do people go to sports events? So they can get tense. So they can get tense and scream and yell and carry on and then hope to have a winner and then a gush of excited energy, you know, and all of the tension and the name calling and the screaming and the yelling and all of the above mentioned things are somehow forgotten. They didn't happen? Of course they happened. You were screaming nasty things at the referees, and you were screaming nasty things at the team that was your opponent team. You know? We're collectively nuts. And we go to places to be collectively nuts. Deliberately. So all through history, well, let's just take the Colosseum in Rome. It was a collective nut house. Meanness beyond meanness. How about a bull ring? Might as well be a gladiator. Isn't that what a matador is a gladiator? The bull doesn't have a chance. Well, unless he gores the matador, which would be deserving. But and sports arenas are pretty much gladiator events with less blood, a little blood, yeah, you know, when they lose a few teeth and they break an arm or a leg, or they have a concussion that's going to last the rest of their life, you know, let's go play more football.
Okay.
Here we are, called intelligent people. That's questionable. Is intelligence even important? If you read your body's tension or relaxation levels, and you read what brings you closer to open heart, how much intelligence do you need? If a child comes running in and is screaming and yelling that he got kicked because he would, you know, and he's carrying on because on the playground somebody took his ball. Of course, once he's had cookies and milk and some consoling by my mama, she says, you know, well, really, can you tell me how that all happened? Well, I was playing with my ball, and Johnny came over, and he wanted me to play with him, and I wouldn't let him have my ball, and so he kicked me and took my ball. So I went over and kicked him, and then he kicked me back, and let me see. What part of that was your fault? Well, I could have shared my ball, maybe. Oh, okay, dear. Did we learn anything from that? You see, everything can be a learning experience if we have the inner calm in ourselves to help a child work through exciting events in a more, let's say, gentle energy response. And maybe Johnny could be encouraged to turn it around by apologizing. That might be a loving way of helping him learn that maybe this kid is deprived of a ball. Maybe his parents can't afford a ball. You don't know. You see, there has to be some formatting for a child to understand that other things might be going on. Well, my audience is a little older than a child, but still dragging around the child within. And that child within, at the stage it was not able to understand and relax and forgive both itself and whatever thing they thought was perpetrating the problem, this is a opportunity to go back and let go. The memory is still there. And letting it go with love, both of what you think was the perpetrator and yourself, Let go, let go, let go, let go, let go. Get empty. Empty it all out. Empty, empty, empty. And through being a detached observer of things that have been stored away is a good way of house cleaning. It's spring, do a little spring house cleaning. Alrighty, so onward and onward, but the beauty is you have the tools and you have a heightened energy of spirit energy in you because the master heightens your spirit energy at initiations, gives it a major boost. And it's up to, let's say, our attention to utilize it to its best advantage. Not easy. Nobody says it's easy. But it's the workless work. And it won't be done until it's done.